يلا أوكي. Semence karpatan bu ne? Ama yanda bir ceba, yanda cirgi. Hengen git hata.
Selen de şey yapalım.
Nasıl? Please begin by singing the song of the Lord of Yogis Milarepa called An Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way. This is on the sheet we got. It's also in the back of the Son of Wisdom. When you sing this song, visualize Milarepa himself in the sky above you, and that your words are actually coming from Milarepa himself, so that it's Milarepa who's singing, and your words and his speech are inseparable. From the standpoint of the truth that's genuine, there are no ghosts, there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no and no fruition bodies and no wisdom, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all an imitation and the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not co-emerge. There is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's superficial is samsara's wheel, nirvana past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things, and the non-existent reality that's empty, are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness, nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not be do not see sentient beings, they Don't see phenomena, they see their essence. And emerges. Retention powers fearlessness and all.
The qualities embodied by a Buddha.
Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Tene oma leyan tapa jivan dele, ton tamba leyan tapa nelo la kone nyeka maropa, kunzup ton konde se chutam ki yoba. Tadar jit nawa, yoba mabu nawa dao meba tongba, tadar jit nawa de nandong yemi do tamba le.
The way that this song, An Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way, teaches us is first to explain how it is that from the perspective of genuine reality, neither samsara nor nirvana truly exists. From the perspective of relative reality, both of them do appear. And therefore, the true nature of the present appearances that we experience is that they are all appearance and emptiness, undifferentiable. And then, in the last part of the song that begins, all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see pure wisdom. That is a description in harmony with the Shentong and Mahamudra and Dzogchen. And finally, when Milarepa sings of how the qualities of enlightenment emerge from realization, at the end when he sings, and out of this compassion just emerges, retention powers fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha just come as if you had a wishing jewel, a wish-fulfilling jewel. This is all in harmony with the explanation of enlightened activity found in the treatise on Buddha nature. And if you read that chapter called Enlightened Activity in that book, The Buddha Nature, then you will understand this very clearly. Thus, we should not look at these apparently contradictory explanations and think that there is any actual contradiction in what they are talking about. There's no contradiction at all. Chapter 6 is an examination of desire and the desirous one. And it is an explanation of the line in the sutras where the Buddha taught, desire is perfectly pure, and therefore forms are perfectly pure. And Nagarjuna wrote this chapter because those who believe that things truly exist said to him that your past refutations of the true existence of the aggregates and the first the sources of consciousness and then the aggregates and the elements, that all these refutations are invalid because the disturbing states of mind, the kleshas, truly exist. And since they truly exist, then they must have some focal reference point and some support for their emergence, and that support is the sources of consciousness and the aggregates and the elements. And so that's why Nagarjuna had to examine the disturbing states of mind, the kleshas, and show that in fact they do not truly exist. If you ask what is the reason why desire is of the nature of perfect purity, then it's helpful to think of the example of a dream. In a dream, the one who experiences the desire is not actually existent. There is no actual self there in the dream, just a mere appearance. Actually, it's appearance and emptiness. And similarly, the other individual for whom one feels desire is just like a rainbow. It is just a dream individual that is also appearance and emptiness. There's really no actual object of desire present either. So since the one who experiences the desire is appearance and emptiness, and the desired object is also appearance and emptiness, then the desire itself is appearance and emptiness. And that is perfect purity. Yomarela. The Buddha taught 10 ways in which all phenomena are equal, 10 types of equality. And two of these are the equality of how it is that all things are equally pure from the beginning, and how it is they are all equally in their nature beyond conceptual fabrication. That they are originally pure means that the true nature of all phenomena from the very beginning is free of any stain, free of any flaw. And that is original and perfect purity. And all phenomena are exactly the same in being that, in their basic nature. And similarly, all phenomena in their actual nature transcend whatever ideas we might have about what that nature might be, whether it be the idea that it exists or that it doesn't exist, or whatever our concept is of it. The true nature of every single phenomena equally transcends all those concepts. In a dream, the one who experiences desire is appearance and emptiness, and so of the nature of perfect purity. The one who is the desired object is also appearance and emptiness, and so of the nature of perfect purity. And the desire itself is appearance and emptiness, and of the nature of perfect purity. Know that the three spheres of desire, the one who feels it, the object of it, and the desire itself, during the daytime as well, are precisely the same perfect purity. When something seems to be impure in a dream, the reason for that is that our thoughts that are clinging to the true existence of the dream are obscuring the dream's true nature, obscuring its actual purity. And when that happens, then impure appearances can manifest. When we don't know we're dreaming and we cling to the dream as being truly existent, then it seems like the object of our desire, and we who have the desire, have actual flesh and blood and have unclean aspects of our appearance. But it's only because we are taking things to be truly existent that we think that's there. It's all just a conceptual projection. It's one thing to understand this teaching, but it's another thing to actually have certainty in it, that's really how it is. And so, in order to gain certainty, we need to use our own powers of analysis to think about this again and again, to analyze it again and again, and by that way, by doing that, our certainty will grow. The desirous one does not truly exist. and the desired object does not truly exist. So how could the desire truly exist? Just as in a dream, it is perfect purity. Let's recite this together. The desirous one does not truly exist, and the desired object does not truly exist. So how could the desire truly exist? Just as in a dream it is perfect purity.
Ichi jeba le ichi ngaba nimon tongzu bala le shinda me ichi ba kiwa meba ichi ki lo le ngay su chweta chweta ya chongba songba jindu songba te dene nimon ge rango nimon rango ma shinda tongzu bala nimon rango shinda shinda me ichi ba jindu kiwa meba songba te ta nenga chi kwanda nenga chi kwanda songji kwanda
De konso di jina ya budi.
Eh jina ya zaya. Mala re beso jina maya na kaji ba maya.
In his song, The Eight Kinds of Confidence, Milarepa sang, the kleshas are the waves of an ocean of poison. The kleshas are the waves of an ocean of poison, but like a fire burning a rope, tying up some wood. But like a fire burning a rope, tying up some wood. You need confidence, these kleshas do not really bind you. Rechungpa, do you have this certainty? The kleshas are the waves of an ocean of poison, but like a fire burning a rope, tying up some wood. You need confidence, these kleshas do not really bind you. Rechungpa, do you have this certainty? If we don't recognize the kleshas' true nature, then they are like the waves of an ocean of poison. But if we recognize their true nature, then that knowledge is like a fire that burns a rope tying up wood. Then there's nothing binding the wood at all, and we're not bound by anything. When you know the true nature of the kleshas, then nothing binds you at all. And this is certainty, therefore, that's very important to have. That's why Milarepa asks Rechungpa if he has it.
Dorje tepe loo lande chak ne loo to na dedong to shikri. Dika su dedong to shikri maari. Namda ta dhuja di.
In the Vajrayana, there are teachings on how to meditate on the true nature of desire. And those teachings describe the true nature of desire as bliss and emptiness. It's not the same term that's used here. Here, the true nature of desire is described as perfect purity.
Mm.
So let's sing this verse of Milarepas together. I'll sing it once and then we can all join in.
Yeah.
The kleshas are the waves of an ocean of poison, but like a fire burning a rope tying up some wood. You need confidence, these kleshas do not really bind you. Rechungpa, do you have this certainty? The kleshas are the waves of an ocean of poison, but like a fire burning a rope tying up some wood. You need confidence, these kleshas do not really bind you. Rechungpa, do you have this certainty? That was very nice. How did you do that? How did you sing so nicely? Milarepa Ropana. That's right. Chapter 7 is an examination of the composite. And here the root verse reads, arising, abiding, and ceasing do not exist. And therefore, there are no composite things. Since composite things are utterly non-existent, how could anything non-composite exist? I'll read it again. Arising, abiding, and ceasing do not exist, and therefore there are no composite things. Since composite things are utterly non-existent, how could anything non-composite exist? The defining characteristics of a composite entity are that it arises, abides, and ceases. But if we examine, we cannot find any truly existent arising, abiding, or ceasing, occurring. And therefore, there can't be any composite things, because what they do doesn't really happen. And therefore, there can't be anything non-composite either, because if there's nothing composite, then non-composite has no basis to refer to or support for its existence. So once we know there is nothing composite, we automatically know that there's nothing non-composite that truly exists.
Tenga ne so madrupe. Tenga ne so madrupe. Tenga ne so madrupe. Tenga ne so madrupe. Tsuzan tuze trobami.
Sunja.
Yeah,
Arising, abiding, and ceasing do not truly occur. And therefore, the composite phenomena they define do not truly exist. Nevertheless, a dependently arisen mere appearance mere. Nevertheless, a dependently arisen mere appearance of a connection. Let's tack on at the end of the third line. Nevertheless, a dependently arisen mere appearance manifests of a connection between these characteristics and that which they define.
Yeah,
I'll recite it once and then we can recite it together. Arising, abiding, and ceasing do not truly occur. And therefore, the composite phenomena they define do not truly exist. Nevertheless, a dependently arisen mere appearance manifests of a connection between the characteristics, between these characteristics and that which they define. Arising, abiding, and ceasing do not truly occur, and therefore the composite phenomena they define do not truly exist. Nevertheless, a dependently arisen mere appearance manifests of a connection between these characteristics and that which they define.
Then in the region, Tiny Day can get Nether Ore. Tell a man to this Kitapare. This in a Jenga Nesum Jenna, Madonna, Tinin to Zetoma. In a young Tender Nansando.
The word composite means something that is gathered together and made, and that implies that there is some arising and abiding and ceasing. But if we examine and we can't find these three activities occurring, then there's nothing left to define this composite thing. And so the composite thing itself can't exist because its defining characteristics don't exist. And nevertheless, there is an appearance of composite things and their arising, abiding, and ceasing. And these things appear to be connected with their characteristics. And that is a dependently arisen mere appearance. It's an appearance that manifests merely due to the coming together of causes and conditions. If you ask, how could it be that composite things don't truly exist but still appear? How could something non-existent appear? Then the next verse gives examples of how that could be possible. Like a dream, like an illusion, like a city of Gandharvas. That's how birth, and that's how living, that's how dying are taught to be. So this one we should sing. I'll say it one more time. Like a dream. Like an illusion. Like a city of Gandharvas. That's how birth, and that's how living, that's how dying are taught to be. A city of Gandharvas is a city of spirits that you can see from far away, if you happen to see one. It looks like there are many spirits all moving around, but the funny thing is that when you get close to them, they all vanish. So that's an example for human beings in a big city, because when you don't examine, it looks like there are a lot of them there, but when you analyze, you don't find anything. So it's an example of appearance and emptiness. If you don't, if that example doesn't sit very well with you about a city of Gandharvas, then substitute in the example of a movie. We'll sing the song with the city of Gandharvas, but you can think of a city in a movie. Like a dream, like an illusion, like a city of Gandharvas. That's our birth, and that's our living, that's our dying are taught to be. Let's sing with a movie. Like a dream, like an illusion, like a city in a movie. That's our birth, and that's our living, that's our dying are taught to be. Chapter 8 is an examination of actors and actions. It is an explanation of the line in the sutras where the Buddha taught, no actor is perceptible and no action is perceptible either. If no actor is perceptible, then there can be no action either. Nagarjuna wrote this chapter because those who believe things truly exist said to him that actors and actions truly exist, and therefore the composite phenomena that they produce must also truly exist. So the refutations from the past chapter are invalid. And so Nagarjuna therefore had to analyze actors and actions and show that they don't truly exist. Here the root verse reads, an actor exists in dependence upon an action, an action exists independent upon an actor, and apart from that, no reason for their existence can be seen. An actor exists in dependence upon an action exists in dependence upon an actor, and apart from that, no reason for their existence can be seen.
Sepa po yimba lele tingu pa kanga ki leja sepa po la temba mato leja sepo ni temba duzi jijo mamengu madu.
The only way an actor can exist is if there is some action. If there's no action, there can't be an actor. But an action can only exist in dependence upon an actor. If there's no actor, there can't be an action. So one depends on the other in order to exist, and the other one must depend on the first one in order to exist. And apart from that, you can't find any reason that can establish them as being truly existent. No reason for their true existence is perceptible. So let's recite this. An actor exists in dependence upon an action. An action exists in dependence upon an actor. And apart from that, reason for their existence can be seen.
Tar rabzi goba ngaru na nebare. Ngaru na neba tabasite. Karese na zugra dhru reza rikwe. Make his own repa. Make his own doa. Nave jatuba. Ne tesova. Ti rojum. Luja reza repa. Naruto. Da yavandona. Da deu chale. Naruna deva. Zugra teru reza repa. Naruto. Da yona. Da deu re. Deu je dan deva kakwe. Kedo. Tene. Danda. Naruna neba de kabare.
Chapter 9 is an examination of what comes first. And this chapter is looking at the idea of a substantially existent self. What it means for there to be a substantially existent self is the idea that there's a self that exists and then goes out and has lots of experiences. In short, that there's an autonomous self that goes around having lots of different experiences. And so what that implies is that before
Tela yudo mido ji toba da nendo. Seri suan.
Tendon masona.
O tendo.
So let's recite this verse again. The one who experiences perceptions does not exist before, during, or after the experiences of seeing and so forth. Knowing this, all thoughts of an experience of perceptions either existing or not existing are reversed.
Tene razi chobate metam bikin tapare. Metam bikin tapate tsubshin tan tsubshin ni labad dhuzi ji darvaka su me bargadu. Me barvate me de kane yang mayo kando yang dogo mare dogo ngante pare.
Chapter 10 is an examination of fire and firewood. When you rub two sticks together and produce a fire, then it seems like the fire is actually there, but that fire didn't come from anywhere, and it doesn't go anywhere when it goes out. And in the same way, all phenomena are empty of coming and going. There are a few verses in this chapter. If you look at the book later and read them, I think they'll be, their meaning will be pretty clear with the explanation. In the same way that fire doesn't come or go, so it is that thoughts in their true nature are beyond coming and going. Anger is beyond coming and going. Suffering is beyond coming and going. Here the analysis is a little bit the same as in the chapter called An Analysis of Coming and Going. You might, from the perspective of experience, think, I am experiencing suffering. I am experiencing disturbing states of mind. But you can't find any way that, any place where those experiences of suffering and disturbance came from. You don't see where they go. So how could they be here now if they didn't come from anywhere in the first place? They don't go anywhere. You don't see them arising, and you can't find any cessation. So how can they be here now if they didn't arise in the first place and they don't cease? So all of this is evidence that these experiences don't truly exist. This planet as well is beyond coming and going. Metam pushing tapa. Tambo ya budo.
Ah, tambo ya. Tambo ya budo.
Ya budo na.
Te danda te doi long te. Te ta so ching ta na so ching ta. La te so wa da sun de pa yi. Chien de ta le ne ne jo jo shi. Son, Sawa, Sede, Nyotonga, Tenen, Dene, Kanda, Kang, Tenen, De, Dene, Kanga, Hong Song, Kar, Song, Jinke, Pata, the Tower, Sigi, Mamoto, Kate, Mopo, Kanten, Do, Tenny, Lion, Tenato, Tusakain, Tedom, Kanga, Tenukai, Tedo.
Let's write down the first verse quoted from this chapter in the Sun of Wisdom. It's very good because it shows how it is that things that exist in mutual dependence cannot truly exist. So it reads, if something exists in dependence upon something else, but that thing upon which it depends must also depend upon it, then which one of these exists in dependence upon which? If something exists in dependence upon something else, but that thing upon which it depends must also depend upon it, then which one of these exists in dependence upon which? So let's recite it together. If something exists in dependence upon something else, but that thing upon which it depends must also depend upon it, then which one of these exists in dependence upon which?
Subhin subhin darwale menam barbar chanayam.
Many.
Mene, mene.
Many.
Barbar chanayam.
Barbar lasa, tuji chi.
Marwe.
Barbar chanayam.
Drota unwa meba yi. Chakso dho un meba. Chakso dho un meba hi. Chakso nimona dho un meba hi.
Rinpoche composes a verse.
Jira doko lao li.
Make it easy for you. When we rub two sticks together, fire appears. But it does not come from anywhere or go anywhere. Know that desire and so forth are similarly free from coming and going. When we rub two sticks together, fire appears, but it does not come from anywhere or go anywhere. Know that desire and so forth are similarly free from coming and going. When we rub two sticks together, fire appears, but it does not come from anywhere or go anywhere. Know that desire and so forth are similarly from coming and going. Just as fire does not come or go, anger does not come or go. It's like that. So we finished 10 chapters, we'll leave it there. Now we will read the story and listen to the story and sing the songs of Milarepa's meeting with Chirarepa.
Namo Guru. Jetra Milarepa put his heart, sons, and daughters into retreat in their own individual places in the mountains, and went himself to Gota in Nishant on the border between Tibet and Nepal. In this secluded land, ominous-looking mountains towered into the sky, blanketed by clouds and mist that poured forth unceasing rain and snow. To the right, the howls of wild predators could be heard from the tall peaks of sheer rock cliffs, while vultures soared overhead. To the left, deer, antelope, and mountain sheep frolicked and played together easily on soft hills of rich grass. In front, in an abundant forest filled with a great variety of bright-colored flowers, langurs and monkeys leapt like acrobats through the treetops, while peacocks, nightingales, and many other species of beautiful birds tweeted and sang sweetly while dancing with their wings. Just in front of Milarepa's practice cave, rivers murmured soothingly as they flowed from their sources of snow and spring in the mountains and granite hills. It was a serene and enchanting place. Milarepa took up his abode in a cave named Kataya, located in one particularly rugged and hidden area of the region, where all the conducive conditions to practice gathered together. Virtuous spirits attended him and served him, and he settled into the samadhi called a river's steady flow. Then, at one point, from the mountains above the cave, there came the sounds of the loud barks of a dog, followed by a huge crash. The Jetan thought, up until this point, my concentration has flourished here. Now, I wonder if some obstacle is coming. And he went outside the cave. Sitting on the top of a large flat boulder nearby, he abided within non-referential great compassion. Soon a deer approached. It was black, and each hair in its fur had a silver tip. Its movements showed that it was terrified. Unbearable compassion arose in the Jetan's heart. He thought, as a result of its past karmic actions, it has taken birth in a body like this. Now, even though in this life it has done nothing wrong, it must experience unendurable suffering. How sad. I must teach it the Mahayana and lead it to everlasting happiness. And he sang the deer this Vajra song.
At the feet of Lord Marpa from Lodrak I bow. Please bless sentient beings to be free from pain. You've now a deer's body and a head of thorns. Thorny-headed deer, listen to Mila's song. Now you run away from things on the outside, but you never find freedom from ignorance inside. You cannot abandon your body or mind. You cannot get rid of the whole outer world. So it's time to abandon your own ignorance. It's time to abandon your own confused thoughts. The truth of your karma is too fast for you. How could your illusory form escape that? If you're going to run away, let your mind run. Let your mind run straight to enlightenment. Any other means you try to use to escape are only confusion, so let them go. Let go of confusion and sit down right here. See how death brings you such terrible fear. You look at the far mountain with the hope of escape. You look at the near mountain with the fear you'll be seized. So you wander samsara filled with hope and fear. Naropa's six dharmas I'll explain to you. I'll teach you to meditate on the great seal. I'll teach you the practice of Mahamudra.
So Milarepa sang in a voice like that of the god Brahma himself, so beautiful and pleasing to listen to that it would immediately capture the mind of anyone whose ears it touched. The Jetons, enlightened compassion, completely pacified the deer's fear and suffering, and with tears dripping from its eyes, it quietly approached the Jeton, licked his robes, and lay down at his left side. The Jeton thought, that barking before must have come from a dog who wanted to harm this deer. I wonder what it is like. Sure enough, a female dog soon appeared. It was red with a black tail and wore a cord around its neck. Its nails on all four paws were broken from running on rocks, and its long tongue was hanging out of its mouth like a red banner. It was barking angrily and violently. A dog like this, who can leap through the air like lightning, is what was chasing the deer and meant it to do it harm, Milarepa thought. Whatever this dog encounters, it sees as an enemy. It is never free from angry thoughts. Oh, couldn't this anger just dissolve? Milarepa's sorrow motivated him to sing this song of open compassion to the dog.
Lord Mapa of Lodak, I bow at your feet. Please bless sentient beings, that their anger may dissolve. You've got a dog's body, but the face of a wolf. Angry wolf-faced doggy. Listen well to Mila's song. You think that whatever appears is your foe, anger and bad thoughts agitate your mind. Wrongdoer, now you've taken birth as a dog, and you always suffer from hunger's gnawing pain. The pain of the kleshas never lets you rest if you don't capture your own mind inside. Capturing the body of another won't help. If you want to catch something, it's time to catch your mind. Give up your anger and sit down right here. See how this anger agitates you so. You look at the far mountain and fear you'll lose your prey. You look at the near mountain and hope you'll make your catch. You wander samsara filled with hope and fear. Narupa's six dharmas I shall explain to you. I'll teach you to meditate on the great seal. I'll teach you the practice of Mahamudra.
This Dharma teaching that the Jetan gave out of his great compassion, sung with the exquisite voice of Brahma, completely pacified the dog's anger. Whereas before it was growling, now it whimpered and wagged its tail as it approached Milarepa and licked his robe. Then the dog lay down at the Jetan's right side, with her snout between her paws and tears rippling down her cheeks. She and the deer together were like mother and child. The Jetan thought there certainly must have been a bad man following behind these two animals. If he knows where they have gone, he will come here. Just as Milarepa predicted, after some time there appeared a dark-faced man with angry red eyes. He was holding up the bottom of his tuba as he walked. He wore an antelope skin coat, a lasso rope slung over his shoulder, and carried his bow and arrows in his hand. He was panting heavily, and so much sweat was streaming from his head that you could not tell if his face was shining with perspiration or blood. When he saw his dog and the deer sitting next to each other, like mother and child, he thought, I wonder if this meditator has done something bad to my dog and the deer. Then he became angry and shouted, these rapers and meditators are everywhere. They're way up in the snow mountains when you're trying to kill some game. They're in the towns where people trade and fight. One or two of them die, but they never run out. You have made my dog and this deer totally useless. Let's see if your cotton clothes can do the same thing to my arrow. He drew back on his bowstring and notched an arrow. The Jetan thought, even though these two animals are naturally ignorant, they still understood my Dharma teaching. He is a man, so if I explain the Dharma to him, he will understand too. And he said, man, there is plenty of time for you to shoot your arrow, so first please allow for some time to listen to my song. Then, abiding with his enlightened mind filled with wisdom, love, and power, in a voice like Brahma's, the Jetan sang to Chirawa Gumpo Dorje the following song of realization.
Mighty Lord Siddhas, I supplicate you, grant your blessing that all five poisons dissolve. You've got a man's body, but an ogre's face. Ogre-faced man, listen to Mila's song. A precious human body is so rare it's taught, but when I see one like you, there's nothing rare at all. With the form of an ogre, you do so much wrong. You scoff at the suffering of the lower realms. You may fulfill your desires in this life alone, but negative deeds won't bring you what you want. Give up inner attachment and you'll gain city. Taming outer appearances will never work. Now is the time to tame your own mind. Killing this deer will not satiate you. Try to tame outer enemies and they only increase. Tame your inner mind stream and be free of foes. Instead of wasting your life doing negative things, practice genuine Dharma, how great that would be. I'll teach Lord Naropa's six Dharmas to you. I'll teach you the practice of Mahamudra.
Gumpo Dorje listened quietly to Milarepa's entire song and then thought, I do not completely believe with what he said. Nevertheless, look at my dog and the deer sitting on his right and left. Before, one would have been so angry and the other so frightened. You never would have seen them together. Now, though, they are lying next to each other like mother and child. As for me, even in the middle of deep winter snow, I had never dropped my arrow before, but today I had no power to hold it, and it dropped from my hand. This man is either a master of black magic or an extraordinary lama. I should go see how he lives. And he went to go and look in the cave where Milarepa had been practicing. Apart from some plant roots and turnips, no other food or provisions were to be found. When Gyanpo Dorje saw this, such great faith arose in him that it nearly knocked him over. Lamala, he asked, who is your lama and what dharma practices do you do? Where do you stay? Who are your friends? What are your material resources? The Jason replied, the places where I stay and the friends I keep are like this. If you can follow me, then come along. And he sang to Chirawa Gyanpo Dorje the song of realization.
Tilo, Naro, and the translator Marpa, these three are Yogi Milarepa's lamas. If these three lamas are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. The lamas, Yidams, and Dakinis, Milarepa makes his offerings to these three. If making offerings to them is good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, Milarepa goes for refuge to these three. If asking them for refuge is good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. The view, meditation, and the conduct, these are the practices of Milarepa. If these three practices are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Snow mountains, granite mountains, and mountains of earth, these three are where Mila does retreat. If these three places are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Antelope, deer, and mountain sheep, these three are Yogi Milarepa's livestock. If these three livestock are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Lynx, coyote, and mountain wolf, these three are Yogi Milarepa's guard dogs. If these three guard dogs are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Grouse, nightingale, and big vultures, these three are Yogi Milarepa's housebirds. If these three housebirds are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. The sun, the moon, and the stars, these three are Yogi Milarepa's vistas. If these three vistas are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Gods and demons and some rishis, these three are Yogi Milarepa's neighbors. If these three neighbors are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Monkeys, langurs, and gorillas, these three are Yogi Milarepa's playmates. If these three playmates are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Bliss, luminosity, and non-thought, when Mila feels down, these three cheer him up. If their cheer is good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Nettles and garlic and leafy greens, these three are what Milarepa eats. If these three foods are good enough for you, then follow behind this Repa. Water from the hills, the snow and earth, these three are what Milarepa drinks. If these three drinks are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa, Nadi, Prana, and these are the clothes Milarepa wears. If these three clothes are good enough for you, then follow behind this Rapa.
So Milarepa sang and Gumpo Dorje thought. His actions really are in harmony with his speech, and his face grew even greater than before. Tears flowed down his face. He prostrated, placed the Jetsun's foot on the crown of his head, and made this prayer of supplication. Jetsun Rinpoche, I offer you this deer, my dog, arrows, bow, antelope, coat, and lasso. My dog and I have done many negative things. From this point on, we will abandon negative actions. I supplicate you, please lead this dog, Lok Chang Momo, to the higher realms. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. And please give me, Chirawa Gumpo Dorje, Dharma teachings and lead me on the path to liberation. Then he expressed his supplication in an offering of a song.
To my right is a black deer bejeweled by white horns. If I kill it, I'll end hunger for a whole week. I don't need it, Lama. I offer it to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation. To my left is a she-dog named Lok Chang Marmo. It could snatch any bird from right out of the sky. I don't need her, Lama. I offer her to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation. I have got this black lasso with its jewel of a noose. It could rope any yak crossing the northern plains. I don't need it, Lama. I offer it to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation. This antelope coat with its lining of fur can keep you warm even in the deep snow. I don't need it, Lama. I offer it to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation. In my right hand I hold my four feathered arrows. Whatever they hit, they just penetrate through. I don't need them, Lama. I offer them to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation. In my left hand I'm holding my great white birch bow. Its string roars with sound louder than thunder claps. I don't need it, Lama. I offer it to you. Please lead this black deer on the path to great bliss. Please lead Lok Chang Marmo to enlightenment. Please lead Gunpo Dorje to liberation.
So he supplicated and made his offerings of the deer, dog, and so forth. Then he said, Lamala, please allow me to follow you and be your student. I will just go and collect some provisions from my family and then come back. Lama, will you stay here? If you will go somewhere else, please tell me clearly so that I can find you. The Jetan was pleased that Gunpo Dorje offered him the deer and his other possessions, and that his mind had turned towards the Dharma. He said to the hunter, Son, abandoning negative actions in order to perform positive ones is fantastic. However, it will be difficult for you to keep your promise to go home, then leave your family again and return to where I am staying. Even if you are able to leave your home, it is not certain where I will be, so it will be difficult for you to find me. Therefore, it will be better if you stay here and practice Dharma, and cut your ties with your wife and children. If you follow me right now and practice Dharma as I do, that will be excellent. The reasons why I wander around unpredictably like this are like this. And he sang this verse of song.
I am the amazing mountain Repa, an incredible yogic I am I. In the 3 months of summer, I hit the snow mountains where the clean wind blows the dullness clear away. In the 3 months of autumn, I go begging for alms, all the while I practice equal taste. And I get lots of tampa, what a tasty treat. It keeps my body strong and healthy. In the 3 months of winter, I live and meditate in the middle of the woods. For when the cold wind blows and the thick tall trees are my blanket that keeps me nice and warm. The 3 months of springtime are when I like to stay in the granite hills and the plains. That keeps me from getting sick with wind, bile, or phlegm. It keeps those bad illnesses away. And all year round I'm in meditation, undistracted with diligence and joy. This makes sure that when the body dies, suffering will not arise. The spy of non-distraction is always on the lookout, watching to see what thoughts arise. That's the way to conquer the disturbing states of mind. It's the way to defeat the poison spies. Whatever food I get, I just make do with that. That is the clearest sign of the happiness that comes when wants and needs are few, when there's little clinging to material things. I exert myself continuously in the practice of the Dharma. That's the sign this yogi has great diligence, that doing good things brings him great delight.
That is amazing, Chirawa exclaimed. I am going to practice the Dharma from the depths of my heart. I will just go now and give my wife and children some advice and gather just a few provisions to support my practice, and then I will come back right away. Please stay here until I return, he supplicated. The Jetan replied, if you are intent on practicing the Dharma from the depths of your heart, meeting with your wife and children is pointless. If you have the willingness to undergo the hardships necessary to practice the Dharma, you do not need any other provisions to support your practice than that. Plants, berries, and so forth. These are the food of austerity, and they alone are sufficient. The time when this human life will end is uncertain, and your current noble intention to practice Dharma is in danger of changing. Therefore, stay here right now. Before you give any advice to your family, listen to my advice for you, and Milarepa sang this song of realization.
Listen here now, hunter Chirawa, to my song. Thunder makes a loud noise, but it's just empty sound. A rainbow is pretty, but it soon fades. People may find some joy, but it's all just a dream. Sense enjoyments give pleasure that causes suffering. Composite things seem so permanent, but they quickly end. The wealth you had yesterday, today is gone. The people with us last year, now this year have died. Excellent friends have become enemies. When you eat healthy food, it turns into poison. The ones that you've cared for, in turn do you wrong. The bad things you do only hurt yourself. Out of 100 heads, you like your own best. Though you have 10 fingers, the one cut is what hurts. Out of your whole family, you like yourself most. The time has now come to take care of yourself. This life is impermanent, you will soon die. Putting off Dharma practice is a bad thing to do. The family you love throws you into samsara. It's time to rely on the Lama right now. Then you will find joy in this life and the next. It's time to practice true Dharma right now. It's time to practice true Dharma right now.
Listening to Milarepa's song, Chirawa Gyalpo Dorje's mind turned irreversibly towards the genuine Dharma. He did not return home to see his family, but rather stayed with the Jetun, requested instructions, and began to meditate. When a few experiences began to arise, he reported this to Milarepa and requested that the Jetun hold him in his noble compassion and give him teachings on how he should continue to practice. The Jetun was pleased, saying, "Your good qualities are beginning to sprout. Now you should practice in this way." And he sang this special song.
When you want to rely on a genuine guru, from your heart supplicate him again and again. When you're meditating on the yidams and dakinis, generate their image clearly again and again. When you're meditating on impermanence and death, think I do not know just when I'll die again and again. Whenever you meditate on Mahamudra, meditate in short sessions again and again. When meditating on all sentient beings as your mother and father, remember how they've been so kind again and again. When meditating on the profound whispered teachings, you should practice with the courage of a bone in your heart. To bring the Dharma to its complete perfection, sustain your practice evenly, not in fits and starts. To see if your mind's in harmony with Dharma, don't do lots of different things, bring it all into one. To reap the harvest of the divine Dharma, give up worldly activity once and for all. The deities will provide you with what you need. So do not accumulate wealth with negative deeds. Do not get rich through avarice. This is your samaya with all the dakinis. So give up worrying about your future. With your mind, abandon attachment to this life.
Dr. Milarepa sang this song. He gave Gampo Dorje all empowerment and practice instructions in a complete and perfect way. Gampo Dorje meditated accordingly and brought his experience and realization to their ultimate perfection. He became known as Chira Ripa, one of Milarepa's heart sons. At that time as well, the deer and dog gained liberation from the suffering of the lower realms. It is said that the bow and arrows Chirawa offered to Milarepa in that cave are still there even today. Thus ends the story of the Jetsons' meeting in Nishong Gurta with his heart son, Chira Ripa.
You should recite and sing the songs from this chapter again and again, and then it'll get better and better.
Yeah.
Since the deer and the dog as well had the Buddha nature, then if they give rise to faith and practice the Dharma, they can as well progress on the path to enlightenment. There was an extraordinary event when Milarepa sang these two animals his songs and they gave rise to faith. That could happen from the one hand due to the power of Milarepa's compassion. His blessing had great power. And from the other end, the two animals had the Buddha nature. When these all meet, then this extraordinary event could happen. That such a thing could happen is easier to believe these days than ever before, because we see how well animals can be trained and be given all different kinds of instructions and follow different commands. The only thing they can't do is understand human speech, but animals can study and can learn to do excellent things, can learn to perform noble actions. That shows that they have the Buddha nature, and also that in the Buddha nature is present the seed of wisdom. In Western countries, people have lots of affection for their pets, and so if you sing these songs that Milarepa sang here to your pets, then that will be of benefit to them. Karmapa Wangchuk Dorje also used to teach the Dharma to animals, and they learned to meditate. And it said that when some of these animals died, they rested in the Tukdam, which is the post-death meditation. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, da tona tona.
When you realize this, whatever appears is mind. Throughout the day and night, look at your mind. When you look at your mind, you don't see anything. When you don't see anything, let go and relax.